in the snow. Thought it might be nice to stay by a cozy fire drinking hot chocolate or coffee. But then I realized that I would actually much rather be here with a bunch of warm-hearted people. There were some squeals of delight at our house this morning, and some faith that was strengthened because Jesus answered prayer, and we have snow. I enjoyed that last song, Solid Rock. For a sneak peek, we're planning on singing that song with the chorus at Bible school this year, so you can show up, and those of you that will be there can help with that, and the rest of you can listen in. So the title of my devotional this morning is Worth Looking Back. It's the new year, and as we face the new year, we usually think of looking forward, New Year's resolutions. I'd like to look at that in reverse this morning, and thinking of making the year count because of being able to look back on it and what it means after we've finished it. There's a quote that I really like, but I'm not sure who said it, because when I looked it up, there seems to be a consensus that it was a Quaker anyhow. Whether it was William Penn or a lesser-known Quaker author is what's in dispute. But the quote is this: I expect to pass through life but once. If, therefore, there be any kindness I can show, or any good thing I can do to any fellow being, let me do it now, and not defer, neglect it, as I shall not pass this way again. So thinking of that, was what I did this year worth looking back on? What was my contribution to the building of God's kingdom, to the aiding of my fellow man? You know, in order to look back with satisfaction, we have to do what is right now. We like the luxury of relaxing in our easy chairs with coffee in front of a warm fire without doing the work that it took to buy that chair in the first place, to cut the firewood for the fire, to brew the coffee. We like the results, but sometimes putting in the work to get to the results is what's difficult. What we do now determines our memories later. So there's two things I'd like to look at in this regard. The first one is fighting, and the second is finishing. And there's two ways, I believe, of fighting our spiritual battles. There's the way of least resistance and the narrow way that Jesus spoke of in Matthew 7. I'm just going to read a few verses from Matthew 7, verses 13 and 14. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat, because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life. And few there be that find it. The way of least resistance is experience-oriented, and it's where our battles are dictated by what is most or least comfortable to us. We put in the minimum effort needed. Our spiritual vitality is not as important as my comfort or my opinion. Rather than looking ahead, we make our decisions based on how we feel right now, or how this will make me feel or affect me right now. In Numbers 14, verse 3, the Israelites said, wherefore hath the Lord brought us unto this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return into Egypt? And later on in Judges, now therefore go to, proclaim in the ears of the people, saying, whosoever is fearful and afraid, let him return and depart early from Mount Gilead. And there returned of the people 22,000, and there remained 10,000. Both of these cases, the future benefit was deferred. Why? Because it was too much at the time. Too much was asked of them right now. What else happened in those cases? Both times, the battles still had to be fought, but someone else fought those battles. The people that refused to face them also lost the victory. Someone else fought the battles. They were important battles. They needed to be fought. But the fear of a negative experience right now was more devastating to these people than the loss of the promise of God. Guilty consciences also make us cowards and shy away from these battles. In Proverbs 28, there's that familiar verse that says, "The wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are bold as a lion." Here's what Jesus had to say about those who got wobbly-hearted. In Luke chapter 9, he said, "No man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God." And he was introducing the narrow way in which the fighting is goal-oriented. Here the fight is dictated by where we want to go. So if eternal glory is our goal, we'd better make sure our swords are sharp, because there will be battles along the way. They're inevitable. Here, my daily comfort isn't noticed in the sweep of forward momentum that accompanies a soldier in the victorious army of the Lord. Is it easy momentum? No, it's not. But it is inexorable. It's inevitable. We know the Lord will win. There's inexorable progress. Sometimes it's fought with grueling deliberation and exhausting battles, but we're focused on the victory, not on my current comfort. In Revelation 6, it says, "And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer." And I love that picture of current victory and future victory. In Romans 8, verse 35 through 39, it says, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors." There's that word conqueror again. "Through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Here, living for Christ is the goal. But look at the fight that it talks about in verses 35 and 36. Tribulation, distress, persecution, and goes on. Is the fight easy? No, it's not. But what's the message of this passage? Is it the difficulty? No, it's not. It's the triumph. It says we are more than conquerors. In this fight, again, the current battle is not the focus. The goal is the focus. Are these battles unimportant? No, they're not. They are important. But these battles that we face on a day-to-day basis are not standalone actions where we have to do this and then we move on and that's forgotten. That's part of a larger war, of our solidarity with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And then after the fighting, thinking of looking back, the finishing, when there's someone who wins a prize or in some sort of a competition, someone wins a game or whatever it is, often they analyze it afterwards. And, this is what helped me to win. And these are the things that the training that I did that made it possible. So in this battle, as we look back, are we the victors? Are we the glory-crowned hero of our own conquest? Far from it. I'd like to look at some of what the apostles and prophets had to say about their overcoming. In Psalm 106 says, "Save us, O Lord our God, and gather us from among the heathen, to give thanks unto thy holy name, and to triumph in thy praise." Isaiah said, "He will swallow up death in victory, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from off all faces, and the rebuke of his people shall he take away from off all the earth, for the Lord hath spoken it." Paul said, "Now thanks be unto God, which always causeth us to triumph in Christ, and maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place." John said, "And whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith." So although we are weak and the battles are real to us and they feel difficult, Christ is the victor. And through him we can be strong. God is the one who keeps the records. And God is the one who gives out the rewards. But there's also our fellow fighters, without whom we would be lost. The inspiration and encouragement from our fellow soldiers are vital in this battle. Paul also said, "Not for that we have dominion over your faith, but are helpers of your joy, for by faith ye stand." Someone else has helped make those moments that are worth looking back on in our lives. And the challenge to me is, am I doing the same for others? I can think of countless instances where someone has come to me and encouraged me or challenged me and helped make the battle worthwhile and helped make the battle something that could be victorious. Am I doing the same for other people? Do I have the same goal of inspiring others? Do I have maybe we call it a proof of life? And often proof of life is used in ransom situations. Before someone is willing to pay a ransom, they want to make sure that the hostage is actually still there to be freed. So they ask for a proof of life. Well, is there a proof of life in my life? For a Christian, the proof of life, the proof of the inner life of Christ in us is in our fruit. There are evidences. Did I live my life the way I should have? Did I live this past year the way I should have? The fruit should show. It's also we can get inspiration in the battles that were fought and won. The ones you fought with terrible desperation and fear. The ones where you gritted your teeth and gave it everything you had when you felt that there was no more to give. Those are the battles that, even though sometimes they felt the darkest to us, were the moments that gave another soldier inspiration, another person strength when they felt that they were finished. The moments you persevered when you felt like giving up. Maybe that was the time when another battered soul was on their knees. I know that's the way it's been for me, where the glimpse that I had of someone else who was fighting but not giving up is what it took for me to get that little bit of strength to swing my sword one more time. And sometimes the battles that we face and we feel discouraged, but we keep going, might be the inspiration for someone else who needs the strength to swing their sword just one more time. And you see, in the end, those battles aren't just for us. They're for the kingdom of God. And as we look back and see those battles that we've won, there's a personal resilience that comes into that as well. That we can see we've also walked this path and we found it worthwhile. We can look back at victories that were won, at memories that were made, at friendships that were deepened, and we can say, it's worth it. It's worth those battles. It's worth those fights because of the end result. My relationship with Christ is more precious than ever. It's worth it looking forward. It's worth it looking back. So as we face the new year, what about the old? Was my fight goal-oriented? Did I finish well? What are the fruits? And are my steps worth following? So as we face this new year, let's make it worth it looking back. Let's kneel in prayer.